Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Droid Life Show today, episode 147. It's Friday, August 4th. I'm your host, Kellen. With me, Tim. Tim, say hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Tim here.
So huge show today. And I say that because, well, we've been off for 2 weeks. I was on vacation and we just haven't had a show. But there's just so much going on right now, from Moto Z 2 Force being announced to Tim reviewing it. Like, that all happened while I was gone, which is kind of crazy. But we got new Pixel 2 leak today in image. There's Galaxy Note news everywhere. There's LG V30 news everywhere. Even the Essential phone, which still hasn't launched, is still kind of back again. There's just a lot going on. It's a good time to be an Android fan, I should say. And it was kind of slow for a while there. So it's going to get fun, I think, for the next couple of months. So do you want to start with the Z2 Force? Like, it's weird because I was gone and you were like in New York doing Z2 Force stuff. And then I came back and you're like, I've been using this thing for like a week and here's a review. So I guess we should probably start there and then we'll get into the other stuff.
Yeah, it's a decent place to start. I guess to sort of put everything into perspective, right? Like, Droid Life, it's a 2-man operation. And so when one of us leaves, it leaves only one of us to like do everything. And so that week, I'm glad everyone stuck around with me, because it was just me like traveling to New York, still posting stuff for the site and getting everything ready. Like, and it's not an easy task, but we got through it. So went to New York. They had a very nice little event, you know, chatted with all the other Android blog homies. And then they gave us our Moto Z2 Force review units. I started using it immediately and I just wrapped up using it yesterday. As you may have saw, every other site posted their Z2 Force reviews as well. So basically my takeaway is that, you know, it's a fine phone. There's a lot of pros to it, but my overall sentiment was that I wouldn't recommend it. It has a really high price tag. On Motorola's site, it's $720. But if you want to get it through a carrier like AT&T, buy it directly through their website, you know, it's like $800+. And really at that price, you know, they're competing with the best of the best of what's out there. And the Z2 Force doesn't necessarily stack up against that. There was a lot of drama focusing, especially around the battery size. Last year, the Z Force had a 3,500 milliamp hour battery. This year's Z2 Force only had a 2730 milliamp hour battery, which is almost 1,000 milliamp hour cut. It's sort of a big deal. They wanted, instead of having the Moto Z2, which was the really thin phone, just the Moto Z last year, they just wanted to push the Force, make it available on all carriers. So they definitely made it small, but at the same time, they took away all that battery, and then we're pushing these new battery kind of turbocharged Moto mods. That was sort of rubbing people the wrong way. They're like, okay, what are they doing? They're stripping away battery and then replacing it with a Moto mod that you can buy for $80. And so I share that sentiment with people. Like, it's kind of rubbed me the wrong way. There are Moto mods that are cool, like the gamepad. There's an Incipio car dock Moto mod. There's the JBL2 speakers. There are some cool Moto mods. There's that new Moto 360 camera mod that's cool. But they just don't necessarily bring that much to the table, at least for me, right? Like, my usage, I guess, is just different from everyone else's, where I don't find the Moto mods really benefiting me as much as they could, say, other users. Like, I don't have any need for like a Pico projector or anything like that, but apparently other people do. Like a
480p one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the nice thing is that if you do end up buying the Moto Z2 Force, you will get that projector that they announced last year, made available last year for free. So
they are giving that away for free.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. That thing was like $300
on the first $300, yeah.
Yeah. So still, like, Moto mods, they'll definitely impress your grandparents. Like, if you like going around and just snapping mods on and being like, yo, check this out, it's cool. Like, it's cool. And they work. Moto mods still work the way you would want mods to work, right? You just snap them on and they work. There's no type of syncing or connecting or anything like that. It just totally works. And so that's all fine and dandy. Now, as for the phone itself, Motorola software, still good. Pretty plain Jane Android experience, which is great. I appreciate that. There's not a lot of hidden settings or anything like that. So fine there. Inside the Moto application, you can get your Moto actions, Moto display. All that stuff is great. overall, the phone is fine. Like I mentioned, they did take away that large amount of battery, but the battery life for me was great. I was getting through a full day easy, and I've been playing a lot of Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, and it's a total battery drainer game, and it was lasting me just fine. So, you know, overall, I had a good time with the Moto Z 2 Force. It's just not exactly the phone I would recommend to anyone, simply because it's so expensive, and there's just better options out there if you're going to be spending that much money. If you're a Motorola fanboy, it doesn't get much better. I suppose I wish it had, you know, a better IP rating. It does come with a nano coating, water repellent coating, which
no one knows what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. No one really knows exactly what it means. It's supposed to repel water, which doesn't even make sense. Like, you know, it's but not going to like, use the force or anything to like
spray water on it. You can't like run it under a faucet. So I don't
know. Yeah. You can't treat it like you would an S8 or anything like that. So just be careful with it. But I guess that's about it. No headphone jack, which of course, you know, kind of grinds my gears too, but you just live with it, right? So
the Z2 Play, which they also made stupidly thin, it has a headphone jack.
So there's not like a unified vision, I feel like, going on over there in the terms of the hardware design and implementation of things. I you know, maybe they remove the headphone jack to put in a bigger battery, which is funny, right? Because the battery is already so small, but maybe that headphone jack allowed them to add that extra 30 milliamp hour to the 2700. I don't know. It's just, it's weird. But the phone was fine. Like if you like Moto phones, like I thought the camera was good. We've had really crappy weather here. Not only has it been 100+ degrees, but we also have a fire going on not too far away. So our whole area is just covered in smoke and all that. So I haven't been outside much. I wish I could have taken more pictures, but I'm just not in the area to do so. So
our air quality, by the way, is rated unhealthy. Like yes. We're not even supposed to be outside much yet.
Yeah, which is weird for Portland, right? So, did you have any questions I could answer about the Z2 Force? I'll be trying to look in the comments too, but you were gone. So
yeah, so like it's weird because it's one of those phones that we went through like from announcement to review, and I have never even seen the damn thing, right. It doesn't happen all that often. But so I just got in with the Z2 Play, and I looked back, and I actually haven't even talked about my review of that on the air, but so like I kind of have an idea of what you just used, except the Z2 Play obviously not as high end in terms of processor and camera and stuff. But like looking at your review, I just kind of go, why would you not just get the Z2 Play? Like it has good performance. It has, you know, that awesome software experience. And then you have all those Moto mods. You have a headphone jack. You have a bigger battery. Like the Z2 Play is almost the phone you should buy unless you like really, really need a quad HD display.
Right.
And then you maybe you do a lot of gaming, right? And so you need a Snapdragon 835, but like the Z2 Play does all of this stuff. It doesn't have the dual cameras, I guess, either, but it seems almost like definitely a better buy. I'm kind of with you in the Moto Mods thing. Like there's like this part of me that goes, I totally get Moto Mods. Like the idea of adding stuff on your phone is awesome. It's awesome. Motorola does it better than anyone. Well, I know there's not that many people doing it, but their implementation is really great, I guess I should say. But I'm with you in that none of them like really stand out to me. So they're like a hard thing to review. Like we could go like, yeah, they're crappy, but this dude over here might think they're awesome, right? So for you and I'm with you. Like I also haven't found a big use, although I will say the turbo battery one is pretty great because it actually does charge your phone fast. Like that one, if I owned a Moto Z 2, I would own that mod because you could just bring that thing with you and charge up. But as for the battery reduction, so like last year's, right? What did you say the Z Force was last year? Like
3,500.
So last year you had 3,500 and then you could attach a mod onto it to give you like 5,000 milliamp hour, right? You could like almost like double your battery. And so not only did they take it away, but now you like lose that like massive battery capacity because now it's back down to 27 and then you throw on a thing. So that is really kind of annoying that they've done that. So I don't know. You talked about in your review how it just doesn't feel, and I said this in my Z Play or Z2 Play review also, like this design is just kind of tired at this point. And we're only 2 years in to a 3-year design. Because they're going to make these Moto Mods work for 3 years, and next year we're going to get the same exact phone design. And so that's kind of disappointing. These phones feel upgraded in terms of specs, but overall, like, do they really feel like you used the Z Force last year and this year you got these, like, other than this one being thin, like, did you notice, like, was there that big of a difference between them?
No, I mean, maybe in terms of performance, like a little bit, you know, but the overall feeling is just the same. And I kind of harped on that a little bit in the review, saying, like, well, you know, I appreciate that Motorola is committed to supporting the current catalog of mods for 3 years. That means they're stuck with essentially the same design, you know, for that period of time, while Samsung or HTC or LG can switch up, you know, their design language at any time they want. They're kind of free to do that. Like, you know, sort of like LG, they said, yeah, our mods were really bad. Our friends were bad. And we're just going to scrap it and screw support for anyone who bought it, which, you know, might sound harsh, but hey, it did suck. So I think they sort of dodged a big bullet by not kind of putting themselves in that corner for such a long period of time like Motorola is doing. You know, it's not a bad looking phone. It's just, it gets sort of boring after 2 years.
And next year, it's going to be really boring. Like when they come out with the same exact thing, and maybe they change the shape of the fingerprint reader again, like, sure, the overall footprint of the phone is going to stay the same.
Right.
The only thing they could possibly do is try to stretch out and put a bigger display while not. And that could be fine. Like, they could probably sort of go bezel-ish and go like 6 inch or something. That could be kind of cool, but they're going to have to leave room for a front fingerprint reader because they can't put it on the back because you got mods on the back, right? So they can't like switch that up. So they can't really do much there. Oh, yeah.
You gotta ditch some of these things that just aren't even really worthy of marketing. I don't know if it really brings that many people to the table to buy the phone, like that Shatter Shield. There's more drama about the Shatter Shield and how it scratches super easily than anyone saying, oh, wow, like, I can drop this phone and it won't break. Like,
that is, you know, true. Just, like, that's actually a pretty big selling point, the fact that your phone screen won't crack. But right, you're right. The takeaway in the 2 weeks or whatever, a week and a half the phone's been announced, is like, well, it's pretty crappy because it clicks when you press it because it doesn't seem on there properly and it scratches with a fingernail. Like, that's kind of the story around it rather than this is really cool technology.
Right. And it just sort of kind of adds a cheapness to the device, knowing that it's not glass, you know, sort of like the same glass you expect from a Samsung or LG device. So just the whole package, I like to think overall package wise, you know, is it worth $800 on certain carriers or $700 on others? And it just doesn't scream that to me. It doesn't even whisper that to me, like, hey, I'm worth that much. Like, no way.
Like you said, with the Galaxy S8, it's like always discounted. You can get an unlocked SA for what, like $550?
$550 right now. Like, that's a,
you cannot do that. Yeah.
Who would feel free? I mean, you know, go for it. I'm just saying, who would buy the Moto Z2 over Galaxy S8 at that price?
I don't really know. Props though for them getting it on every single carrier.
Huge.
I can't even tell you the last, actually don't think ever in the history of us doing Droid Life that there's been the same Moto phone on all four carriers. Well, five. They're even on US Cellular, I think. You know, because like the Droids were there, and then like there was Atrix on AT&T, right? And then I think like Sprint had a couple of one-offs, but I don't know that we've seen the same exact Moto phone on all carriers ever.
I can't remember a time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe back in like the Razor days or something. I don't remember, but like since we've been doing this, I don't think it's a wrap. So that's a pretty big deal, but
yeah. Then, you know, the only problem is that they're not, it's not carrier agnostic, right? And I mentioned also that in the review, right? You have to buy these specific versions for these carriers, so you can't just buy one and it's going to just work on each carrier,
right?
Which is, you know, a downer, but hey, still, like, if you're on that carrier, you can at least get a version that
works. Anything about an unlocked model, or is it just all carrier stuff?
Well, they're not that I am aware of, yeah. Like, in terms of an unlock that'll work on every carrier, no.
Yeah, just because like the Z2 Play, right? It's been on Verizon, but there's an unlocked one coming that it won't work on every carrier, but it's still unlocked. Yeah, I don't know. I feel a little bad for Motorola because I don't want them to scrap this Moto Mods thing, but there's something needs to be tweaked about the way it implements so that they're not stuck with the same damn. I guess like when you talk about Essential, they're kind of going modular and they're doing it so they can change the phone, and they just kept the connector so they can connect stuff to it. Because yeah, Motorola really has just backed themselves into this corner where it's just, we're only in year two and we're already kind of going, eh, what else you got? And we know we have another year of it coming. I think there's any chance they scrap it next year, like if it goes so poorly. Although they said last year, like at the end of last year, that the Z line was selling like crazy over the Christmas holiday. So maybe we're just, maybe we're out of touch, Tim.
It's totally possible. I mean, we do live in caves.
That's true, we do. You did run a poll that asked if people were buying it, and 70% did say no.
Oh.
A little bit said debating, and 13% said yes. So some people are interested.
Yeah, folks in the chat. Well, just one folk apparently who mentioned it multiple times, but John saying the Moto X 2013 was unlocked and worked on every carrier, but we aren't talking about unlocked and being able to work on every carrier. We're talking about you can go to a carrier store and pick it up.
Yeah, they've sold tons of phones recently that are on, like all the Moto Gs in the last couple of years are unlocked, work on all carriers. But yeah, actually sold at carrier stores. Hasn't happened, I don't think, ever.
And someone just said, can we start a Patreon to get Tim a new webcam? I got the same webcam that Kellen does. I don't know if you guys are seeing what I'm seeing. It looks fine on my end. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Checking the... I think it's just because you probably have tons more light in your office than I do. Like, I don't black mine out, but I really darken it.
I got no light. I have just my blinds partially open, and I have a light over here that's covered in like a shirt that shouldn't even really be affecting anything. It's weird.
Yeah, it looks super white and blue. Maybe just because your walls are whitish. I don't know.
There we go. Hello, everybody.
Otherwise, I think it looks fine, yeah. There's just lots of white, that's all.
All you need to worry about is my voice. As long as you can hear me properly, that's all I care about.
That's right. All right, so any last thoughts with the Z2 Force then?
No.
It's probably a pass.
Yeah, it's a pretty hard pass. The battery life was nice. You know, once the weather actually gets better, I would love to kind of take it out and test out the camera compared to other devices, because I think the camera's actually pretty darn good. And I kind of want to mess with that true black and white that it has. I messed with the telephoto, the depth enabled portion of the camera, and it was only inside, so you know, I wasn't able to like really do much, but it actually looked kind of cool. So I'm interested to try it more. The weather sucks. It's too hot.
Yeah. But
yeah, should be interesting.
All right. That's the Moto Z2 Force then.
Yeah.
Poor little guy. I liked the Z2 Play a little bit. It didn't see that. That was the thing, is like last year's Z Play, we all know I was a big fan of that. But like this year's Z2 Play, even I just kind of went, it's fine. And it seemed like that's kind of the Z2 Force thing. Like, it's fine. The thing is, you have to knock it out of the park every time now, because Samsung's still doing it. LG's G6 was still really good. We know Pixels are coming. Even the HTC U11 like completely jumped over HTC's normal like output, right? Like, that's a really good phone. There's all these really, really good phones. The Motorola's kind of like, same phone again.
Yeah.
Got mods.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. So today, just... couple hours ago, VentureBeat with a report that showed us essentially the first picture of the Pixel 2.
Wow.
The smaller of the Pixel. So a few weeks ago, Android Police had a picture of the bigger Pixel XL 2. And I think we talked about this on one show. I think it was the last show, actually, 2 weeks ago. And that's the LG made version. So we think Pixel 2 will be HTC made, like last year's Pixels, and then the Pixel XL 2 will be LG made, just to make sure everyone knows that. So today, VentureBeat posted this picture of what they said is the Pixel 2, which would be the smaller one, the HTC made one. I believe its code name is Walleye. I can't keep all the code names straight at this point. Before we talk about the phone, so the report also suggests that single camera on the back. So neither of the Pixel phones going to have dual camera, which I honestly do not care, as long as it takes really good pictures. The dual camera thing just doesn't mean anything to me. But it will have a squeezy side like the HTC U11. And I believe the LG one is supposedly going to have that too, which is kind of weird since that's an HTC thing, but Google patented it like years ago. Anyway. And the big thing, I think, is the dual front-facing stereo speakers on the little guy. Because the LG picture we saw did not show dual front-facing speakers, but this little HTC dude, I mean, this is one of those things you talk about, I feel like, a lot, is like dual front. And I feel like our comments always fill up with like, where's the stereo speakers? The Nexus 6 was the best because it had them. The Nexus 6P was the best. Wait, did the Nexus 6P have it? It did, right? Yeah.
Yes.
But people talk about the dual front-facing screen. I feel like it's one of those things people complain about all the time. And especially with this phone, because if you look at the design, it's got pretty big top and bottom bezels again, like last year's Pixel. And we always complain about, like, use that space for something. Why didn't you put another speaker down there? Why don't you do... And so this year, it looks like they did. So, and then additionally, no headphone jack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So... upgraded internals, obviously, will probably be there, like the Snapdragon 835, or maybe, I think when I was gone, there was a report that said they might use a Snapdragon 836 or something.
That was what the report said. So yeah.
I mean, they did last year. Google brought the 821 out. Remember, like, the 820 and 821, they were the exact same model number, like, in benchmarks, but it was actually a slightly upgraded processor, so it could be the 836. Who knows? So anyway, you have to assume upgraded internals and then hopefully an upgraded camera. And then you have front facing speakers, squeezy side, no headphone jack, pretty much the same design and footprint, which we'd kind of been hearing for a couple of months that this HTC version was just going to look like last year's. And it does for the most part, but I don't know. What do you think about this thing?
I'm more interested in the XL just because this phone doesn't look... It's sort of like the same thing with the Moto phone. So quickly, okay, I already had this. Like, I like the back. It looks cooler, I suppose. It looks the same, man. You know, like, I'm just not impressed. I'm much more impressed with what I've seen so far with the Moto XL2. And this one looks very uninspired, you know. It looks pixely, though, right? Just because it looks so much similar to last year's. I still like it. I'm still excited about it. I'm just not as excited about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way. Like, I use, like, this is the little guy. This is the little Pixel. This is what I use most days. I mean, I have a Galaxy S8 here also that I kind of jump between, but a lot of times, like, this is the phone I use. Right. So I'm looking at this, I'm going, okay, well, it's an upgrade to this because it has front-facing speakers.
Totally.
And it has squeezy side, which, I mean, I don't really care about the squeezy side stuff.
You care.
The headphone jack I don't care that much about because I don't use headphones that much. I'm one of those people, like, I don't care about the headphone jack thing going away. It doesn't bug me that much because I sit at home and I listen to music on speakers. Like, I know you walk your dogs all the time, so you probably use headphones all the time, right? Like, I don't do that. And, like, when I go running, I use Bluetooth headphones. So I'm not one of those people that care. So that doesn't bug me. But like you just said, when you look at the LG one that we've seen, just like it looks modern because it's got a full display and this one doesn't. It looks like this. So
I'm just kind of mad. I wouldn't say I'm pissed, but I'm definitely mad. I'm upset that these phones aren't the same. You know, last year I loved that the Pixel XL was just a bigger version of the Pixel. The phones were pretty much identical. It's like the two phones are different. So you have to weigh your options a bit more, right? Last year it was easy. Like, oh, do you want a bigger phone? Then just get the XL. This one, if there's like differing specs kind of going on or features going on, or just even like the aesthetic, that's really annoying.
I would agree. Although I'm looking at the picture of the LG one, and it does look, at least the back looks very similar.
Sure, the back.
Obviously the front, because they're different display types and all that.
Front's way different.
Yeah, so the front is just completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm sort of resting on. And these images...
Well, yeah, this image is bad. It's like bad quality.
Right, not to say I don't appreciate the leak god or anything like that, but a lot of the images and the renders we've seen have just been kind of crappy. So I'm just waiting to see the real thing. And then I'm sort of reserving my main judgment for that day.
Yeah.
But based on this picture that we've seen today, I'm not all that excited. It actually, the front looks just like a 6P. And the back just looks like last year's Pixel.
It does, yeah.
So it's like a matchup. Yeah. Right, exactly. So, I mean, you know, I hate to say I'm like jaded, but it just looks sort of boring. And like we've seen this before.
The other thing too is like this is the little guy, right? And it's pretty small. But the XL2, because it's going to have like no bezel, you're going to get a really huge display and not that much bigger than this probably, right?
Right.
So that's the other thing is like this phone size-wise, like how close is it going to be to the XL, because this thing has huge bezels and the XL don't, like, they're going to, I don't even know there's going to be that much of a difference. So if you're kind of deciding between the two, you're probably just going to go with the big guy, assuming it's not like $400 more or something, right? But like, I think like last year, size wise, this and the Pixel XL, they were definitely different, right? It was like a half inch in display. They were definitely bigger and smaller, but these two, I don't know if they will be that different just because there's bezels on one and not on the other. So this is going to be a tough sell, the new little guy, I think.
The new little guy. Yeah. Well, I mean, already we know, at least from the research I've done, limited research I've done into only because I was doing a big giveaway of, like, say, Galaxy S8 Plus or S8 or Pixel XL versus Pixel. We know that these people, at least our readers, tend to go for these bigger devices. They've got bigger batteries, typically, you know, bigger displays. People just want these bigger phones. So already, I think the Pixel, the smaller Pixel 2, was going to be a tough sell. And now, you know, to give it these big bezels and all this stuff, like, I just see it as an even tougher sell. So it'll be interesting, but again, I'm gonna try not to get too triggered about the whole, like, headphone jack thing. It's just it's no big deal. Like, I've been using the Z2 Force, so that has no headphone jack, so I've been using Bluetooth, a set of Bluetooth headphones I have just on pretty much every phone now. It sucks because I have to pair them with every new phone I get, but you know, they just work. They sound good. It's whatever. I'm not like some huge audiophile that, like, you know, needs to have wired headphones or anything like that. And you have to evolve, right? Your usage has to change. You get sort of in that zone over the course of 7 years of using this stuff. You just have to kind of switch it up. It's not a bad thing.
Do you think Google will, I don't think they would make their own wireless headphones, but do you think they'll have LG, like, produce some for them that they'll sell alongside? You know, like, I feel like Google does that every once in a while. Like, they make a product and then they have, like, a partner kind of make something that goes with it. And I'm wondering if maybe, like, they'll say, well, there's no headphone jack, but here's these sweet wireless headphones, or here's a discount on, like, LG's new wireless head, or something like that. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, so here's actually what's going to happen. I can almost confirm via I can't name the source, but Google is going to come out with these ear pods, and they're going to be called G pods. And they're going to be little earbuds, totally wireless. And of course, I'm joking, but I could totally see them making G pods. I just love the name too, G pods. So maybe I'll email somebody, see if we can get that going.
The other thing too is HTC's U11 comes with USB Type C headphones. So maybe they'll make some that go with this phone at least. That could be the other thing. And hopefully they give you headphones. Wait, they've never given us headphones. I have that Google.
No.
Okay, so no headphones. So I wonder then, yeah, if they'll, like, HTC will sell theirs in the Play Store, like that kind of thing. That's my guess. Because they have to give you options. If they're going to take away the headphone jack, they need to probably give people some options.
I got Derek in the chat trying to tell me that the name's taken. Oh, G-Pod is trademarked. But what is it? It's a versatile building solution? I don't know. Either way, I'm sure Google has enough money they could buy G Pod name. No problem.
Yeah. They probably could, yeah. All right, so that's Pixel 2 stuff. We're still probably 2 months from that.
Yeah, two months. I'm not thinking next month. I know we're close to official Android O.
Yeah, that should
be Pixel 2 still a bit of ways.
Yeah, it is. So a lot of hardware-wise, I don't think a lot of things are going to change, but we'll find out more definitely over the next couple of months on that stuff. All right, let's switch to Galaxy Note 8, because this is a phone that's actually coming very soon. So since the last show, Samsung actually announced an Unpacked event on August 23rd. Mm. That goes down in New York City. Are they doing it elsewhere, or is it just in New York?
Don't know.
I always feel like we think it's only in New York, and then they do like a secret event in London or something too, yes, which they'll probably do. But probably. So anyway, August 23rd is Note 8 date. Like, that's official, set in stone. Like, I'll be there. We're starting to just find out, I feel like, everything. Like, there's few secrets. There could be some secrets, but no secret. For the most part. Yeah. So August 23rd, Samsung hosting an Unpack. They'll announce the Galaxy Note 8, and then a report out of Korea this week says that the phone will then arrive on September 15th. And if you look at calendar and compare that to the S8 launch, it matches it exactly. So the S8 was announced on a Wednesday, just like this phone. And then 3.5 weeks later, 2.5 weeks later, 3 weeks later, on the Friday, the S8 was released in stores, and this September 15th matches up exactly to that. So we're probably looking at September 15th launch, which is fine.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So in terms of specs, VentureBeat also reporting what they believe are final specs, and that is a 6.3-inch Super AMOLED Quad HD Infinity display, Snapdragon 835, so no upgrade to that mysterious 836 there. 6 gig RAM, though. I think this is one of the first Samsung phones with 6 gig. Or was there an S8 like in China with 6 gig? I always feel like there's these random China models. Anyway, so 6 gig RAM, 64 gig storage, 3300 milliamp hour battery, IP68 dust and water resistance, and then the dual 12 megapixel camera system, 8 megapixel up front. Only gold and black models initially, right? And then maybe down the road, orchid gray and a blue color.
Is it like a deep blue or ocean blue? Deep
sea blue or something, yeah.
I'm sick of fancy names. You know, like, I wanted to paint my office and, you know, you go in there and you're like, I want to make it like a dark bluish gray. And then they give you these freaking designer names that make no sense.
Paint is intimidating because, yeah, there's so many different layers and colors and shades. Things. You're like, well, this is kind of more grayish and this is more greenish. And you're like, yeah. Oh my God, your eyes just start blinking to each other. Yeah. I mean, none of this stuff's like, it doesn't really seem that shocking or surprising anymore. Oh, so the report did say that the dual camera system, one's dual pixel f1.7, 12 megapixel, and then the other one is a 2x optical zoom. So basically, Apple's camera, right? Something like that.
Yes.
I think we're still probably thinking this thing's going to cost close to $1,000, which is insane. It's really just an S8 Plus with a pen, so that's a bit wild.
Did you mention the Bixby button?
Oh, there is a Bixby button on there, yes.
Yes, confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed. Yeah, so we got all sorts of new renders now. We kind of know everything about the Note 8 other than price. And if there is like a secret trick that Samsung wants to throw out there, but yeah, Bixby's there. It's less rounded than the S8, a little more squared off on the top. Like the round corners in the display aren't quite as like round. They're a little sharper, I guess. But I don't know. It just looks like a squared off kind of S8 with a pen.
It looks hot. I can say that. It looks pretty good. I mean, I've always been like a Note fanboy, I suppose. Although there was one year, it was the... what was that phone? The Note 4, which I think nobody liked. It had that faux leather stitching and all that stuff.
That was the best. Or was that the Note 3? I can't remember either. That was the best. Like the plastic fake back.
That had to have been the Note 4, I think. It could have been the 3 and 4. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I've liked them all, especially the Note 7. You know, it's really unfortunate what happened there. So I'm really hoping that they can bounce back bigly with the Note 8.
I'm sure they will. They did with the S8, so I'm sure they will.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, Samsung is like thriving, even with what happened last year. Like, they just pushed forward and
record quarters.
Samsung, how do you do it? I mean, someone in like business school right now is trying to like take notes on what Samsung did, because that was like a huge PR nightmare, right? Like, you had airlines saying your Note 8 is going to blow up, don't bring it on board. Right.
6 months straight saying,
yeah, and yet here they are.
Here they are, and it'll come back and everyone will make some jokes again, and then the phone will be fine and we'll all forget that the Note 7 was a bomb.
Sure. But the Note 8's looking pretty hot with that Infinity display. Of course, I have to say that I'm not a fan of the fingerprint reader placement from what we've seen in the all the little renders and all that. You know, it still sucks, but the phone itself is probably going to be dope.
I am not at all excited about this phone. Does that sound really weird?
There's so much other stuff I think you're interested in that it's just sort of taking a back seat.
I think that's kind of it, because to me, it really just looks like an S8 Plus with a pen and a little more squared, and it has dual cameras, which I don't like I just said about the Pixel phones. Like, I don't care about dual cameras, and I hate the fingerprint reader placement. So, like, I have an S8. I'm fine there. So, I think, yeah, I am more... I'm just more excited, I think, about the Essential phone, which we'll talk about in a second. The new V30, which we'll also talk about in a second, actually looks really cool if it looks like the mock-ups we've seen. And then, obviously, the new Pixels are coming out. So, like there's these other phones coming and I'm just like, okay, Note 8, I'm sure will be an amazing phone. It'll probably be up there with like phone of the year candidate, whatever. I'm fully expecting that. It's just like something about it doesn't do it for me at all. That could change. That could change. I'll look at it in a couple of weeks. So that could change.
Yeah. Trayvon in the chat says Note 8 will be life. While Eddie says, if the Note 8 doesn't raise my baby for me, I'm not buying it. It'll do everything else besides raise your child.
Probably. It probably will, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for it just because it's a Note device, I suppose. Even though, you know, I don't even like S Pens, and I still like the Note series for some reason. I'm
quite a big Note fan, yeah.
I don't know why.
I really should get over it. I really did like the Note
7 a lot. Who didn't like the Note 7? I feel like everyone who picked it up, even if you were a Samsung hater, you pick up the Note 7, you're like, damn, this feels pretty good in hand. Like, and you know, the software experience has gotten so much better. People still talk about TouchWiz like it's the worst thing ever. And it's definitely improved over the years, folks. Give it a try. Don't be a hater. Like, don't be a hater. Just try it.
Don't be a hater. I still think it's janky trash, but it's gotten better. It's gotten much better. All right. So I think that's pretty much for the Note 8. So yeah, again, a couple weeks, August 23rd, we'll be there. It'll be big. The Note 8 will be big. I just hope they don't spend like 10 minutes on stage going, we did everything really, really safe this time and all this stuff and the batteries are great. And I know they will. It's just like, I just don't care. Like, I know you guys fixed everything. I don't need you to tell me for like 30 minutes that the battery's safe. Like, I get it.
Well, it's good that they're bringing their attention to it.
I know they are, but like they already did that during the essay. They're going to do it again because, you know, like all the obnoxious media that we work alongside sometimes is going to go, how can you assure us that this is a safe one and it's not going to blow up? And I'm just going to go, shut up. Do you really think they like didn't do everything in their power to make this the safest phone ever? I don't think they want another Note bomb.
That would be bad.
All right, let's move on. So LG V30, I believe on our last show, we talked about how it's coming, what, the 31st, we think? Is that when it is? At IFA?
Well, we don't think, right? We know. Well, essentially, it's not confirmed V30, but...
There's like a big V.
There is. It's
save the date basically confirmed. So, yeah, I believe that's August 31st. I don't have the damn date. But so LG's going to show at IFA. But they announced this week that they're... What did they call it? I'm pulling it up now. They said our next major smartphone, that is how they announced it, will have a 6-inch full vision plastic OLED, P-OLED display. And it also has slightly curved edges because it's plastic OLED. They can do fancy stuff like that. And it's the first one that they've done this, that they've used a P-OLED display since the G Flex 2 way back in early January 2015. So there's a lot of stuff to unpack there. So number one, their next major smartphone, which is the V30, is going to have a 6-inch P-OLED display, which is a big deal because that means they're ditching LCD displays. Thank God. I hate LCD displays so much. So LG is going back to AMOLED, which is great. They shrunk the bezel, so they did compare it to the V20 a little bit. So the ticker is gone, I believe. Well, they didn't actually say that, but we're assuming the ticker is gone. But they said they shrunk the top and bottom bezel by 20 and 50% compared to the V20. So it'll have a 6-inch display, whereas the V20 had a 5.7-inch, and it'll be a smaller phone, which makes sense. That's what Samsung just did as well. So, and the LG G6. So big news there in terms of display. This is also probably the display that will be in the LG made Pixel XL too. Like probably the exact same display because that's been rumored to be a 6-inch display from LG. So not only is the V30 going to have this, it probably means that the new Pixel will as well. So
I think the V30 is going to be huge. Brian in the chat says V30 fail with curved screen. What? Get out of here, dude.
Curved, like Samsung. It's just like subtle curve to
the subtle curvature. Yeah, it'll be fine.
It gets rounder and softer in hand. It's not going to be like an edge display. It's just like a subtle curve.
Yeah, I have to defend it because this is the first V series phone that I'm actually excited for because reports say they've ditched the ticker or there might be some type of like floating ticker. I was never a fan of the secondary ticker displays, so I'm happy that that may be going away.
The ticker is one of the worst smartphone inventions ever, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there. HTC tried it too. Basically the same implementation as LG. It was bad. It was worthless.
Yeah, I thought so as well. So the V30 with this display, and you know, we know it's probably going to have great specs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to be water resistant because the G6 was.
It should have an 835. Where, remember the G6 we kind of hammered because it still had the 821. So this will have an 835.
Right.
That quad DAC, or maybe they'll go like a, what would 6 be? Sex DAC?
Sex DAC. Or octo DAC.
Hopefully they bring the octo DAC. They always do a wild shit like that. Octo DAC, yeah.
First phone with octo DAC. Yeah, that'd be cool. And we know, at least from one like CAD render, or, you know, some type of concept, that we hope that the fingerprint reader is going to be in a good spot on the backside like it is on the G6. It's not going to be next to the dual cameras on the back or any weird thing that stands
normal position, yeah.
Exactly. This is a... The possibilities are exciting for the V30.
Yeah, so they posted up in their announcement of the display, like this bottom portion of the phone that shows like the curve and like this, like, or I should say the full vision display, and then like the rounded corners and then the subtle curve on the edge. And then someone on the internet then took that picture and tried to sort of like transformed it into a mock-up of what the phone could be. And granted, this is a mock-up and not a real device picture, but it looks pretty hot. If the V30 ends up looking like this, like, sure, it kind of looks like a Galaxy S8 Plus, but it looks pretty good.
Looks like fine. The
G6 is super flat because there's no curvature at all to the edges, right. And this thing does. So it just looks, again, I keep talking about modern stuff, and it just looks like a modern futuristic smartphone that matches up to Samsung and all that stuff. So
it looks pretty, like the display, you know, it looks immersive, like the Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus. You just sort of lose yourself in that display. It looks real cool. I mean, already from the evolution from the G5 to the G6 was already so big for LG. Now the G6 to the V30. LG, you know, if the phone does end up looking like this mock-up, they're doing big things in terms of hardware design, which they needed to do, obviously.
They just need to figure out how to sell phones.
They need to figure out how to fix their software a bit. I'm still like kind of a LG software hater. Like, their skin is, it might be the worst right now for me, but
I would tend to agree. And it's starting to look more and more like stock-ish, like some of the stuff, but like it's just using it and performance wise is really good. But yeah, there's something about the software. It drives me nuts. I don't like it at all either. Yeah.
Samsung Shield, you guys were laughing at me when I told you the V30 could be a sleeper. That's because up until this point where this news has been made known, like I at least personally am not a fan of the V series. I've never even touched one. Kellen always reviews them, but this one actually like looks exciting. So
yeah, I'm excited for this one too, because I trashed the hell out of the V20 last year and pissed off all the V20 fanboys. Like, apparently like Reddit/V20 fanboys like got a hold of my review and we were so pissed. So it'll be fun to like go back at this one, and I can have a little battle with those guys.
The king of stuff and things ups the game in the V30.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to start writing stuff and things again as well. So
yeah, the nice thing is that, so yeah, if we do believe that the V30 will have the same display as the Pixel 2 XL, we can go, you know, our hype beast headline can be, this is the Pixel X2 display, and like show the V30.
That'll be fun.
That'll be good.
Just hype beast the hell out of that. So anyway, that's getting announced on August 31st. So, and we don't know when it'll come after that. LG is notoriously terrible at launching phones in a timely manner. So they could announce it on, so like last year, the V20 was announced, I believe, the first week of September, and it didn't ship until like November. It was like 2 months. So yes,
it was bad.
Yeah, they always try to get it. They did the same thing with the G6 this year, right? Like, they always try to get out in front of anybody else's announcements, and then they can't ever make any damn phone. Like, the G6 was announced at, was it at MWC? Or it was like a week before MWC or something, right?
Something like that.
And then, and Samsung took their time, and then they launched basically the week of Samsung or right before. And everyone's like, "That's bad. You missed your opportunity." So hopefully the V30 is actually ready. They're not just going to show it off and then not sell it for 2 months or something.
Yeah. Brian in the chat reminded me, he mentioned the Samsung Continuum, which had the bottom ticker. You remember
that? That was way back. That was like 2010, I think. The Droid Life was still new. We didn't even fly to events and stuff back then. Yeah. I remember sitting back watching the live stream of that and just going, really? Like, you guys had a press event for this junky phone?
That was a really bad phone.
It was really bad. I need to look it up now.
That also reminds me, just speaking of crappy designed phones, it reminds me of the Droid Charge from Samsung.
One of the worst ever.
That thing was hideous. Ooh.
Site though, longtime readers, they defend the hell out of that phone, and I do not know why.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's really bad.
Oh, there's the Continuum. What a phone. Oh, the puzzle piece lock screen. You remember that?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Dedicated capacitive search key. Man, we've come a long ways.
Yeah, next week for Throwback Thursday, I'm going to put it in my little reminders. I'm going to do, like, remember the world's ugliest Android phones, and Continuum will be there, Droid Charge. There's a few other. Feel free.
Which is funny, because the last time you did that, it was the Galaxy S5, and people got, like, butthurt about that, too. But that was one of the cheapest, ugliest looking phones ever.
It's the worst phone.
And you just named off two other Samsung phones.
Yeah, sorry, Samsung. You make it.
I'm fully on board with you on that. They were some of the worst ever.
Droid Charge.
Or the Droid Charge look like a shield, like a spaceship shield kind of thing.
It did.
Had those really heat, like the biggest. I'm looking that up too. Like the biggest physical buttons, ever. Like unnecessarily large.
Yeah, this thing was huge. Those were bad.
But it did have a really nice AMOLED display. It was probably like 480p or something. Yeah, like sure. The buttons were like along the bottom, and they were just they were just huge.
I'll take the hate. I don't care. It's an ugly phone, my opinion. Same with the Continuum. Same with the S5 Band-Aid phone. The phone software was bad. There was to make it kind of watery, you know, proof or whatever, they added that little piece you added to the bottom and the USB port. Like, it was just stupid.
So, I'm just looking at Droid Charge review.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, the software is so bad. What's funny is, like, I called the camera good, and if you like look at one of the pictures I took, it was like completely overexposed, like blown out. And I was like, it's totally good. Like, we've come a long way in our reviews too. But it was one of the first LTE phones.
That's true.
Man, look at that. I called it cheap plastic because it's scrap, because it was like the cheapest plastic phone ever. Android 2.2.
Yeah, sorry, that picture you took in that review is absolutely hysterical.
It's pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, maybe I can just link this down here in the chat for anyone who wants to view it. Wants
to see that thing.
I just linked the Droid Charge review all the way from 2011. Woo wee! Yeah. May of 2011.
At the unboxing, I know this is like audio. God, this, I remember when I was reviewing this phone, it was huge, but like I'm looking at it now in my hand, and the thing is it's tiny.
That's crazy.
What a junky phone. Yeah, it just looks like this like wannabe alien spaceship phone.
It was a Droid phone, you know. It actually matched up pretty well with sort of that whole Droid concept. Pretty, you know, it's sort of like kind of mechanical, biomechanical like aesthetic. Yeah.
But you know what's funny though? In my review, I knocked it for having the Droid tag because I basically said it didn't deserve to be a Droid.
Ouch. Well, that's painful.
So we were still Droid fanboys back then, right? And I was like, this doesn't deserve it. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got on that, but tickers and stuff.
Tickers,
like that.
Continuums, all that crap.
Just get on those tangents. So, all right. So yeah, V30 probably won't have a ticker, but it looks pretty nice. What we've seen, what we've heard so far, and what we're expecting. So, all right, moving on. Essential phone, back in the news. I think the last show, Andy Rubin and maybe an executive from Essential had come out and said, it's coming soon. It's imminent. Few weeks. It'll be here. Well, it's been at least a couple weeks since Andy Rubin said that. It's still not here. But it did show up at Best Buy today on Best Buy's site. So the unlocked model and the Sprint model, both in black and white, are now listed on Sprint. You can't buy them. You can be notified of them, and they just say coming soon. The Unlocked is $6.99 like we expected, and the Sprint model for some reason is an extra $50. I have no idea why it's an extra $50, but it is.
Sad.
Yeah, and so like we still don't know when it's coming, but I think we might be getting closer if there's listings on Best Buy. That's such a weird thing. Like there was so much hype around it right away, and Andy Rubin's like, "It's coming soon. I wouldn't let you reserve it if it wasn't going to be here in like 30 days." It's been 60 days since he said that. Still, we don't know.
It actually doesn't seem like it's been that long because there's been other stuff to, you know, take up an Android fanboy's time, but it's still bad.
Yeah,
you know, if you put it in that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, he said in 30 days, it's been 60, and you still can't buy this phone.
Yeah.
So let's see, one of their head of UX already left the company, though, went to Google. I think that happened while I was gone. So that happened. So they've already lost an executive, which is, you know, never good.
They're losing a few.
Yeah. They posted up a screenshot. This is like not really news, but kind of for us Android nerds. But they posted up a screenshot from the phone. And it like, because it has that camera that dips into the screen, like the status bar where your notifications is like double thick. I don't know that I really care, but it just looks weird. Like I put up the screenshot next to a Galaxy S8 screenshot and you can see it's like half and it does look extra thick, which seems like it'll kind of take away from the fact that it's this full big display, but whatever. That's nitpicky stuff kind of.
Yeah.
So you still can't buy it. I'm still really excited about it. So we were talking about this before the show started that it just looks like hardware wise, it looks great. And isn't it titanium or something like that?
Yeah. It's something fancy.
Yeah, so it's expensive at $700. Don't get me wrong, but it just looks nice, and it's a clean phone from somebody different, but it's also from somebody that's familiar, which is kind of nice. Like we know it's stock Android. Yeah, so I'm still excited about it, even though by the time it launches, like the Note 8's going to be here, the V30 will be on the way, we'll be that much closer to Pixel phones, like. Andy Rubin needs to step on it if he actually wants to sell any of these, because there's a whole bunch of, and the iPhone's obviously coming too, but I'm still excited about that white version.
Oh yeah, me too. Everyone, you know, probably who might be interested in this phone should probably just hold off. I know you may have like kind of put your name down to reserve one or whatever, but maybe just hold off, wait for reviews, right? Oh. Because these kind of first gen phones from these like startup companies sometimes can be either hit or miss, and from what we saw from that camera, that from the prototype or whatever, just, I don't know what we should expect. They did a huge piece following that, like, here's what we're doing to optimize our camera, and like, look at these photos that were snapped on the phone, like BS. Like, you use some like professional ass camera for those pictures. So I don't know, we'll see. It's hard to get too excited just because you don't really know what to expect. There's no track record.
I'm just looking though at the pictures. It just looks great. Just nice, clean design. Simple. No logos anywhere.
Oh, it looks sweet. The phone is the design is awesome. Yeah. I don't even care about the super thick status bar.
Oh yeah, I don't really care. Well, the thing is, on your home screen, it just looks like a transparent. So it looks, you don't notice it. The thing is, like when you're in an app, like say you're in Chrome on Droid Life, you're gonna have this extra thick like pink area up there. It's gonna be huge.
Yeah,
which is fine, but it just kind of takes away from the fact that it's supposed to be this all screen display or front right. Whatever, still looks nice, so we'll review that. But yeah, I agree with Tim, like you should wait for reviews on this because we just don't know, like, yeah, if the camera's gonna be any good, if the battery life's gonna be any good. Hopefully Andy Rubin knows what he's doing, but
right, and it's expensive.
And it's expensive, $700. So all right, in sort of random news, well, I think we've talked about this, but Red, the camera company, they're making a smartphone. And I think we didn't like trash on it in our last show, but we just kind of funded the idea that like anyone wants a Red phone, how stupidly expensive it is. But MKBHD went hands-on with some prototypes this week and posted up a video. So if you ever watch that, yeah, go check that out, because he does show like, he looked at three prototypes, basically. One was a finished materials version and sort of design. It didn't work, I don't believe. And then he also looked at one that had their special display. They were two separate. So he couldn't show the display version that worked, but he did show the sort of finished material one. And it looks, it, to me, it just looks like a Moto Z2 with like an extra skin around it, like some carbon fiber and some weird grippy things on the side, but has the same camera hump as a Z2. And it has the like the Moto Mod pins in the back on the same place. And this will be a modular phone. I think it even has a 5.5 inch display. Like, I wouldn't doubt it if they contracted Motorola to like build this for them or something like that. Cause it just looks identical, I think. But I don't know about you, but like this didn't make me go get any more interested in it, I don't think. Cause I think partly it's because it's so expensive and it's like from a company who's never made a phone before. And
I don't, yeah. I mean, unlike Essential that at least has Andy Rubin going for it, you know, I can trust him. I don't know Red. Like, I know they make great cameras. I have no idea if they have anyone competent there making smartphones and software. Right. Like, how are you going to update this thing? They're talking about modules. Like, there's like so much that could go wrong that it's sort of hard to fall in love. And plus, I think it looks ugly. It's got those grips on the side. That looks terrible. That's just my opinion, though. Just my opinion.
I'm with you. I mean, there are niche products and there's this thing. Like, and the other thing is too, it's not only expensive up front, right? It's $1,000, $1,200, whatever it is. But if you're not familiar with Red, like their cameras, they sell basically as a body and you buy things to like attach to it. They're kind of modular cameras. So this is going to be a modular phone. Makes sense. So like, if you want to buy one of their like 500 gig hard drives, they're like $950 or something crazy like that, right? Like a camera like grip thing that goes on is like $500. So the modules for this thing, not only are you gonna have a $1,200 phone, like the modules are probably gonna be $400, $500, $600 a piece, maybe more. So if you really want to get the full Red Hydrogen prototype experience, you're not going to just spend $1,400. You're probably going to spend more like $3,000 when it all comes down to it. And then hopefully you get software updates and hopefully the camera doesn't suck. There's like all these things, right?
Sure. If you're someone like Marquez, you know, who films with a Red camera, or if you're JJ Abrams and shoot with Red and all that, like it's be a cool phone for you, right? Because you can view your footage on this, you know, holographic display and it'll probably look amazing and all that. So it makes sense for, like you said, a niche user. It ain't gonna be Droid Life who does not shoot with Red equipment. You shoot with Sony.
That's right. So there's always a chance we'll look at this phone, but I'm not making any promises. There's just not that. Like, MKBG will have this thing covered if you want to learn all there is to know about the Red Hydrogen phone. Like, I'm sure he will. He's got that in there. He will talk all about it if you're really that interested. But it is kind of a fun thing to watch, like to see Red making a phone and to see kind of what they're doing, because they do some interesting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Android O developer preview 4 came out while I was gone as well. There was nothing really new in it, right? This is just final, right? Before
There was something inside of it. You're missing something. Oh, huge development.
Octopus? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Apparently, we're ditching desserts. We're going straight to the Sea World.
And we believe it at all.
What a troll!
We know Google trolls. So I saw mention of Octopus, but who found it? Where was it? Like, where did this come from?
I was in New York. I forget who saw it first, but we got emails saying, oh, hey, the Easter egg for Android O DP4 has changed. And, you know, you do your regular tap on the build and all that. And there's an octopus. So instead of the cat game, it's been the cat game for like the past 2 years or something, or since last year. So cat game gone, octopus there now. And that's about it. Like, there's no backstory from what we know. I'm sure someone asked it in the recent, this was, they did their AMA, the Android engineer team did an AMA beforehand. They never mentioned or, you know, hinted that Octopus could be a thing.
I look at him. There he is.
Yeah.
Hello, guy.
Someone says in the chat that Octopus that looks like an Oreo. I don't see an Oreo.
It looks like an egg. Like, I think it's like an egg.
I think it's just a troll. A very interesting troll.
Like the cat game.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is, right, so Octopus, they have 8 legs. We
make them, like, swim around and stuff.
Yeah, we're pretty sure this will be Android 8.0. So it could just be, it could just be not a throwback, but, you know, a gesture to Android 8, Octopus O.
Well, yeah, doesn't Octopus have 8 legs or tentacles or something?
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh, you did. I guess Octo means 8, yeah. Sorry, I was playing with the octopus. Yeah, I don't think
sextopus.
An octopus. I can't imagine they're going to change up the dessert name thing. Why would they do that now?
They wouldn't. But
they're going to do that when we come back around the alphabet in 20 more years or whatever. Then they can switch to like some other kind of sea creature or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Just it doesn't fit into what Android is. I feel like giving Android an animal name just sort of. It's not unique. It's not cool. Like giving it dessert names is pretty awesome.
It is. Yeah. So I'm not buying that as octopus.
Don't buy it. Don't buy it.
All right. So in terms of features though, nothing was new. It was just final build right before stable, right? Final preview.
Yep. Final preview.
I got it running on this Pixel, obviously.
You liking that?
It's fine. I feel like I had a couple of hangups or performance issues at some point, so hopefully they're still buttoning things up for that stable build. But
yeah,
Android O, it's fine. There's not a lot of standout features. I'm not using like picture in picture or anything. At least I keep forgetting it's there. Maybe one day I will. I just forget that it's there. All right, so we don't have to talk about this long, but Vic Gundotra, if you guys remember Vic Gundotra, used to work for Google. He was like the pioneer of Google Plus for them and tried to push it to be the next big thing. But he was also pretty important to, well, not Google Photos necessarily, but all the photo stuff that happened with Google Plus. And at one time he was quoted as saying, like, we're going to make sure Nexus phones have really great cameras or something like that. And so he was big in imagery, photography, all that stuff at Google, as well as pushing Google Plus. He also was a pretty good trash talker when it came to Apple and stuff like that. So anyway, he left the company because they realized like Google Plus sucked and no one wanted to use it, and it kind of pushed him out, I think, or he quit because he was mad. I'm not really sure. It's been a few years. I think it's been like 4 years or something. So anyway, he took to Facebook earlier in the week and over the weekend. He took a picture of his kids, and it's this cute little picture of his kids. And he's like, look at how great phones have come, and DSLRs are obsolete because we can take great pictures. And it was with his iPhone 7. And somebody said, yeah, well, Galaxy S8 is great too. And he responded like, I would never use an Android phone for photos. And somebody was like, what? Why? And he went on this tangent about how like, because he basically was he tried to throw out the like fragmentation thing, right? Is kind of where he went. And he was talking about how there's like too many camera apps and photo apps and all this crap. And when people innovate, then they have to push it through Google so then everyone else can use it and all this stuff. And it's like, it's just a trash argument. It's totally like a 2013 argument. Like, Vic, like there's so many independent looks at smartphone cameras these days. And yes, the iPhones still take great photos, but Samsung's photos have taken better photos or at least right there on par for years. And the Pixel's rated higher than all of them, right? I mean, and he kind of took some jabs at Google, like they used to be really good at computational photography when I was there, and now they don't. And it's like, shut up. That's like half of what they do now. Like the Pixel uses a camera that everyone else uses, but like Google did some extra magic in the background to make it awesome. So it's, yeah, it was just, I don't really care. But like, it's just like, Vic, come on, like you're smarter than this. Number one, like, are you just like bitter about your exit from Google still? Like, come on, dude.
Like all those flavors and he chooses to be salty. Like it just seems sort of, it felt a little weird to me.
It was weird. And the argument was just super weak. Like it was like, you know, like people have to choose between the Samsung camera and the Android camera. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, I've never picked up a phone and it had two camera apps installed out of the box. Never. Like if you want a new camera, go download. I'm sure you can download a secondary camera on iOS, can't you? It's just so stupid. It's like, okay, dude. Anyways, that happened today. People threw kind of a fit, but it's just one of those things like you feel like you had to react to. Like, dude, this is so dumb. Like, it's like the worst argument ever. Like, you're a smart dude. You're smarter than I am. Like, you're a former Google exec, and now he's an exec of like something else. Like, he's a smart dude. That's just lazy. Come on, Vic.
Green.
Better than that. All right, in quick notes, Daydream is now out for Galaxy S8 and Galaxy S8 Plus. So, I'm going to pick up the old this guy.
Oh, wow.
The old Daydream View. Pulled it out for the first time in about 6 months. And yeah, you can buy one of these. They're like $60, I think, right now. Cheaper than a Gear VR. Although, didn't everyone basically get a free Gear VR with their S8 this year? I mean, I'm sure that promo's done. But
something like that, yeah.
If you didn't get the free one, the Daydream View is available for like $60 right now. And it's way more comfortable, I think, than the Gear VR. It's like soft and covered in good stuff. Anyway, so Daydream, Galaxy S8 is official. While I was gone, it looks like there was a bunch of Galaxy S8 active talk. Specs. Still don't know when it's coming, though.
Yeah, I mean, we really haven't heard much yet, but we, you know, did learn some things. Sorry,
there's been a bunch of leaks or something, right?
Yep, leaks have been happening. In terms of specs, I guess I could give you the quick rundown. We're looking at a pretty rugged Galaxy S8. It's got a 5.8-inch Super AMOLED QHD display with Gorilla Glass 5, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, micro SD, 4,000 milliamp hour battery, which people are probably just like, oh yeah, baby. It's got wireless charging, Snapdragon 835. So it's going to be a Galaxy S8 with a bigger battery and a rugged design. And not a very curved display, right? It's got to be ruggedized.
Yeah, I think the last couple of years they were LCDs, weren't they? I don't know. I think that's like where they... Oh, no, you said AMOLED on this.
Yes, yeah, super AMOLED.
I thought like the last couple were LCDs.
It's the screen a bit.
Mm-hmm. But it looks like an active. I'm looking at the picture now with the terrible fingerprint reader location.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't get it. Right, because I always thought that the active would just sort of make the phone water, you know, resistant, and the S8 is already water resistant. I get like, sure, if you drop it, like you would think the S8 active will survive, but
that's what it is now. They just rate it really high in terms of impact and stuff.
Yeah, I just think that's lame. I think people should just get the S8 or S8 Plus, right? I mean, it's, and put a case on it.
People that need a phone that could take a hit, but they. And so they have an option, but they don't want to like reduce the specs because there's a whole bunch of like really crappy, minimal, like low end, mid tier phones that are tough. But this is a tough phone that's not a piece of crap. I get why it exists, but it's one of those things too. It's only on AT&T ever, so no one could buy it except AT&T customers. So
get a Kyocera phone. They make awesome rugged phones. Everyone loves Kyocera.
Crap, when you could have an S8 like with a rugged body.
I guess like it's cool. I'm just,
yeah, I know. Well, yeah. It's hard to get excited about a phone that's only available to so many people, and it always comes out way late, right? Like the S8 or S7 or S6, like they come out and then it's like months and there's this huge gap, and then the S8 active thing leaks forever, and then it comes out and you just kind of go, all right, it's just an S8 in an active shell.
Yeah.
Hard to get excited about, but it is a nice option for those people that want it.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, finally, the Asus Zenfone AR, the first double, dual, Tango, what's the other one? Daydream phone.
Yes.
Does both. Daydream and Tango is now available. This thing was announced at CES. I got to look back when I was writing this up. It was announced at CES, and it's now available at Verizon. There's also an unlocked unit. Runs a Snapdragon 821, so it's getting a little dated there, but it has 6 gig or 8 gig of RAM, depending on where you buy it from. And yeah, three cameras, get that Tango action going.
That's kind of cool. AR
experience, yeah. And it's also Daydream. It's 650 or 600. 600 is the unlocked, 650 for the Verizon. Kind of cool, I guess. I'm not a big fan of Asus's software in the years back when I used to use their phones. Like their Zenfone line, like the Zenfone 4 is coming out. And I know like some people get excited. And there was a time when I think I had a Zenfone 2. Like sent to me, and because they were one of the first like cheap phones that had nice specs. I used that thing for I think like a weekend and was like, oh, I can't do this. I went to a wedding. That's right. It was like last year. I went to a wedding and was like, I can't. I think like, I had two phones with me and I just threw that thing in my suitcase and never touched it again. I think it was a Zenfone 2.
Dang.
Poor little Zenfone.
Kind of harsh.
Well, stop making crappy phones.
Yeah.
I think that's all I got. Anything else you want to talk about? It's been a couple weeks.
Gosh. No, I mean, I hope everyone stays cool this weekend. You know, treat each other with respect. All that stuff.
Question. The doctor says, is Xfinity mobile service even worth it? I would say yes, if you are already an Xfinity customer. I haven't done it because I just have multiple lines anyway, but it uses Verizon service and Comcast like Wi-Fi network, and it's hella cheap. But it uses Verizon's network. And their phones, like they offer the S8 and stuff. You can't bring your own phone to the service, so that sucks. But otherwise, like it's one of those things that not enough people are probably talking about, is that Comcast is a wireless carrier right now, because they'll probably start running deals and they're going to start poaching customers from people. And before anyone knows it, the devil that is Comcast is going to be this massive wireless carrier.
Yeah.
Super cheap, though.
Yeah, it's less expensive than other options, but I just hate Comcast and Xfinity so much that, sure, like I have Xfinity internet, but I cut my TV because I'm tired of giving these people so much money, and they treat their customers like poo.
It's $45 a month for unlimited.
That's not bad.
Like Verizon's single line unlimited is $80. This is $45 if you're already an Xfinity customer, and it works for internet customers too. So,
dang,
yeah, it's almost worth it. But you can't bring your own phone, so you're kind of like locked in. And for you and I, we're the type of people that change phones all the time. It doesn't work, but
exactly.
If you just want to lock in on like an S8. Might be worth it. Oh, Deborah says, but Xfinity is expensive. Yes, Xfinity is expensive. Like Tim and I live in a market where basically your only option is Comcast Xfinity. Like you could sign up for satellite or something like that, but that just sounds like
CenturyLink. Prism, yeah, but it's just not as good.
Yeah, pretty much. Looking at Xfinity Mobile, it's still $45 a line. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And trust me, I hate Comcast more than just about anyone, but that's a pretty good deal if you're already one of their customers.
All right. What did I say? Deborah's and Tim, so true. I don't know what I said. Maybe giving money to Comcast or something. Yeah. They suck.
They really, really do.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. Hope you all have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe out there. I wish I had.
Go outside. You can't breathe.
Yeah, don't breathe. Take a little mask out there and get on the guitar. Yeah.
But so lots of stuff going on. Also, if you haven't read Tim's review yet, Moto Z2 Force is up at the site. But we will. We're gonna have a whole bunch coming because again, Pixels are coming, Note 8's coming, V30's coming, Essential Phone's coming. There's a lot coming.
And be on the lookout
next week or two.
One day we'll be selling these cool new shirts.
I'm back for vacation, so I could probably get back on that.
One day, no rush. Day.
All right, thanks for joining us, DL Ship. So 147.
Peace.